Turn to Psalms 146. We can do it. We can do it. I'm just going to read straight through without comment, okay? Amen. All right. Praise God. Yeah, it could. Yeah, I'd hold your breath. Actually, one of these chapters, Psalms 148, I absolutely, it took me almost 150 chapters to find one, but I have nothing to say. 148 is going to say it on its own, but we're going to start with 146 here tonight. And let's just seek the Lord one more time before we start, shall we? Lord, thanks for being here with us. Thanks for letting us be your kids. And you are so merciful and so gracious. You're the perfect parent, perfect father. And how you love us, and Lord, sometimes you discipline us, but you long us to grow up and to become productive members of the kingdom, Lord. And we know how when you look at us, you just see us in the light of your Son. You see us in a perfect state, even though we know we're far from it, Lord. May these words, last of Psalms here, ring true. And we just want you to know we love you and we thank you. Amen. Please be in prayer for us now. As we said, this weekend is Yeshua Palooza. Be in prayer the next couple days for Yeshua Palooza. But also, next Wednesday, well, just about the time that you're starting service here, 10 of us are leaving the ground to fly to the Philippines, assuming the planes are all flying like they should be, when we need to leave. So, next few weeks, we have dynamic guest speakers lined up for you, and so you'll be sure you want to come down and check that out. So they won't be teaching out of the book of Psalms, that's all I can tell you. So Psalms 146, let's begin here. Now, these last five psalms that hopefully that we get through tonight, they are referred to as Hallelujah Psalms. And it's interesting that through all this, it's been a long journey, 150 psalms, and I don't know, how long have we been through this? Has it been a couple years, you think? Huh? 4 years? Oh, no. That's all I've ever taught of psalms. You mean there's more? I thought my Bible was thin. We've been going through this for a long time, and who knows how long it'll take me to get through the book of Proverbs. I mean, if I can keep my mouth shut, we'll get through in a decent time. But we'll be moving on to Proverbs when I get back from the Philippines. And but the book of Psalms has been quite a ride, and it's been an interesting trip for me as a teacher. For all of us as a family of God, there's been a lot of reflections that have hit home to us in a perfect time. About going through trials and the valley of the shadow of death and difficulties and continuing to give God glory even through these things and how God loves us and calls us home. And all the wonderful aspects of all of Scripture are coming out in the one book of Psalms. And these last five chapters in the book of Psalms is ending with what they call five Hallelujah Psalms, five songs of praise. Now, all five of these are probably written during the period of time right after the completion of the Second Temple. Now, this isn't Solomon's Temple. This is the Second Temple. And the interesting thing about this Solomon's Temple is while it may not have been as grandiose and as rich and detailed as Solomon's Temple, it had one special distinction, and that distinction was this is the temple that would see the Messiah. For it would be this temple that a 12-year-old Jesus would walk in and be found there debating with the scholars of his time. It'd be this temple that the outer court that he would walk in and turn the tables of the money changers over. This is the temple where it all took place. And so upon the return then to Israel and the rebuilding of the temple, there was really a party in the name of God. And that's what these five Psalms are about. And we begin in verse 1 of 146. He begins and says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Now, "praise ye the Lord" is not a foreign concept to the book of Psalms. Many of the Psalms have this concept in here. "Praise ye the Lord." It is, in a nutshell, if you look into the Hebrew, it is the word hallelujah. That's where we get our word hallelujah. It means "praise ye the Lord." As we've mentioned before, it's hallelujah. Yah, J-A-H, short for Jehovah. Okay? Praise ye Jehovah. And so he's saying, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Verse 2, while I live, while I praise the Lord, I will sing praise unto my God while I have any being. And then, you know, that's a very personal verse. He is reflecting here something from his very heart. He's not speaking corporately. He's saying, as long as I live, I'm going to praise God. As long as there's breath in this body, I'm going to continue to praise the Lord. Verse 3, but put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Now, guys, millions of people throughout ages and even today are quick to put misplaced trust in man, in money, in the world system, etc., etc. Now, if anything yesterday taught us a lesson, it was in the frailty of man's systems. I mean, let's face it, America was marching on believing somehow we were immune and that the rest of the world would never touch us. But the rest of the world did reach out yesterday and touch us in a big way. And I think while it was a horrific and terrible event, it did, on the other hand, serve as a wake-up call to America that we're not alone in the world, and that when we say that the Lord is coming quickly, those aren't just words. The Bible speaks of birth pangs, the pains that we have before the end, and they become closer and closer and closer together. I mean, it seemed like we had barely bounced back from the Oklahoma bombing before now this. And it just seems to be coming quicker and quicker. The Lord's returning soon. I pray that no one in this room or within earshot of my voice is fool enough to believe that somehow it's just a fluke, that we'll be okay. I realized yesterday, I mean, I watched it from the beginning. I just happened on a quirk to be watching TV. And I was stunned. I mean, I was in disbelief. I mean, it was like a movie. Wouldn't it? But the world's coming back now to visit us, and we need to realize that the end times, that the prophecies will be fulfilled. I think Chuck and Jerry and Troy and Tiffany were over for the prophecy conference this past weekend at Calvary Chapel over in Appleton, and I imagine that's an interesting timing to hear what's going on, and I imagine Chuck Missler and Dave Hunt had a few things to say. I imagine they'd have a few more things to say now. Put not your trust in princes, nor the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. You know, it's funny, we're always so quick these days to use the term, even on a secular basis, just have faith. You know how we throw that around? Just have faith. In what? I mean, just have faith in what? I mean, oftentimes we use this faith like it is some sort of power in and unto itself. And there is no power in faith by itself. Faith is only as good as what you put your faith in. And I've used the analogy many times that you can get on a building and you can have all the faith in the world that you can fly and jump off that building, but you're going to hit the ground. Why? Because you had faith that you could fly, but you can't fly. So faith is only as good as in what you put it into. And if we put it into the world, then we're going to be solely disappointed. And whether it's in money, in education, our government, our world system, or, God forbid, in ourselves, that's the biggest joke of all, we're going to be disappointed. And some say, well, I have faith in God. But then I think we need to be honest with ourselves and take a step back and say, faith in God plus what? Really? I mean, people even in Menominee and Boyceville were rushing off to the gas stations yesterday. Oh, for heaven's sakes. By the way, that's just a little taste of what it's going to be like when all hell really does break loose. I mean, if Y2K did this to us and now this did this to us, we live in that kind of fragile fear. It's going to be a terrible thing. By the way, I'm definitely a pre-trib man. I pray to God that I'm interpreting Scripture correctly. I don't want to be here for this. Verse 4, his breath goes forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. That's man. His breath goes forth, he returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. See, it doesn't matter because in one day, do you think that any of those 200 firemen had any idea when I got up that morning that one of the tallest buildings in the world were going to fall on them and kill them that day? So we need to realize that every day for each one of us could be our last. And I don't say that to be a fearful thing. I'm not afraid of that. I mean, I don't want to die. I don't fear death. I mean, I always think building falling on me, yeah, I'd be okay. Quick. Plane crash, yeah, I could go with that too. You know? So I'm not fearing dying. I mean, I'm not relishing the idea of dying, but death does not, I don't fear that. I'm curious and anxious to see what's on the other side. But his breath goes forth, he returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is the Lord his God. Sooner or later, the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And I believe that sometimes it gets right to our deathbed. If you have an idea that you're going to die before you do die, I think you lie there and you realize at that point the only thing that was ever worth any faith and trust was God. He was the only one that held not only all the keys, he's the only one that held any of the keys. Man can do nothing. We put our faith in medicine, but you know what? Sooner or later, that medicine's going to fail and you're going to die. And everyone in this room is going to be in that boat. Happy is he that has his God of Jacob for his help. Haggai verse 9, chapter 1 says, "You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it." Or in other words, I blew it all away. It seems what happens with these things of the world. And later on in Haggai chapter 2 goes on, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all the nations, and the desire of all the nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." The shaking has begun, at least for America. Verse 6, which has made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that there is, which keepeth the truth forever. This is the place, guys, that's worthy of our trust, worthy of our faith. Why? Because it's proven. See, we can say, well, I'm going to put my stock or my faith in the stock market. But it's like, if you're young, maybe you don't remember the collapse of the stock market. Or whatever it might be. I mean, you don't have to live too long before you see everything that we put all of our faith and stock in sooner or later come to collapse. Now, I realize that your dollar bill says, "In God we trust." That's garbage. America does not trust in God. It's a lie. Now, we may trust in God. So if you're trusting in this government, you know, to stand invincible, it's not going to happen. I believe that this is the best country on earth, and I've seen a few, by the way. So I have a right to say this is a great, great country. And I'm not signing on long-term missions anywhere. Have you noticed that? It's always good to come back to the home of the Big Mac. I like it here in America. But we are not immune to the woes of this world, and we found that out. God is a proven power, and with him nothing is impossible. He made heaven and earth, the sea and there is. We follow a God that created all that we know. He created a universe. That's a lot of power. "Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoners." And so we have not only a God who can create a universe, but we have a God who can control the universe. Now realize, especially if you're not a believer, you may have thought yesterday, God's in control of this. Well, first of all, God didn't do that yesterday. Man did that. And the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. And we can look at that and say that's a terrible thing. And it was a terrible thing. But that's man's heart. And we're doing this to ourselves. And I think God is waiting just long enough till we finally are convinced that in and unto ourselves, we are nothing. That without Him, we are nothing. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Now, I don't want you to think that God is so busy creating universes and maintaining nations that He doesn't have time for us. Because what God is, more than anything, is a personal individual God. A God who longs to have a personal relationship with each one of us. And whether we're sick or we're hurting or we're lost, God is there for each one of us. And it's Satan's ploy to try to convince you that God is far away. He's unattainable. That somehow God just came down, you know, a few thousand years ago and made it all. And then He just put a big spin on the world and said, I'll check you out in about 8,000 years. But that's not the way it is at all. He's been personally involved every step of the way. Back in Genesis chapter 1, it says, let us make man in our image. Who's our? I thought God was alone. Ah, He was, except God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And He knew before the foundations of the world were formed that He would have to send His only Son to redeem us. The Lord preserveth the strangers, He relieveth the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked He turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. And there's a promise for you. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all the generations praise you, the Lord. Make no mistake, guys, God will have the final word. In yesterday's event and in every event that occurs, God will have the final word. Psalms 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, of great power, His understanding is infinite. So back in verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Yesterday, again, reminds us how much we have to be thankful for. And I think we need to be reminded of that on a regular basis. I think Satan is very quick to try to distract us. And when we start to get our eyes on all of our petty problems and complaints and things that we think that God has somehow done us a disservice, then we cease to remember and we cease to give God glory and we cease to give God the praise that He is due. Praise you, the Lord. He is worthy of being praised. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Now, mind you, this psalm was written hundreds of years ago. And we know that more than once, God did just this. Now, you can read through Kings and Samuel, and you can read the Old Testament books where God did gather together Israel again and again. And you can read in Jeremiah. You can read about these different returns back again, right on into 1948, where God brought them back, I believe, now for the last time. I would hate to ever try to budge Israel from that country right now. By the way, many, many Calvary friends of ours right now are in Israel. Willie, his oasis is there. Lots of Appleton, probably. I don't know. So I know a lot of St. Paul is. And they're all there right now, and we've heard email from them, and I guess things were kind of scurried about, but they're safe and sound. But Israel was preparing too. They didn't know what was happening. But they made a vow, never again, and I believe them. Verse 3, He healeth the broken in heart, He bindeth up their wounds. Each time that God has returned Israel back to their country, He not only returned them physically, but He returned them spiritually. And there was a healing that went on each time. And this was also, here, this psalm written was a kind of a party in the fact that they'd rebuilt the temple. The walls of Jerusalem were still in a rubble at this point. So they were far from earthly safe at this point. But there still was a rejoicing in the fact that God had restored them spiritually as well as physically. And God, even though the Jewish people have gone through some horrific things, including the Holocaust, God has done a healing and has brought them through it. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. No man can do this. Now, I realize today we kind of have a lot of scientists, astronomers, take a wild guess. And you know what their wild guess is? Listen to this now. They believe that there are 100 billion stars in our galaxy. Now, try to comprehend that number. 100 billion, okay? And that there are 100 million galaxies in the known space. Except they believe that that known space is only 1/1,000,000,000th of what there probably is. That's a heck of a lot of stars. That is a lot of stars. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by their names. Do you understand that? He knows their names. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. You know, back in magazines, you know how you can send in and they'll name a star after you, you know? They have a lot of stars to choose from, you know. And I always thought it'd be pretty cool to have a star named Tim. Oh, that's Pleiades, and there's Tim. You know, it doesn't have much of a ring to it, I don't think. God knows every star by name. And again, 100 billion stars in our galaxy, 100 million galaxies, and that's probably only 1/1,000,000,000th of it all. That's a lot of stars. You ever wonder, though, that if what we're seeing is not even real, and then when the Lord returns, He's just going to pull back a curtain, and it's just like it stops just, you know, a little ways out there beyond our reach, and there's heaven? I don't know. We're never going to get out there either way. We're never going to live to see it. Isaiah 40, verse 12 says, "Who has," speaking of God, "who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand." That's referring to the waters all on this planet. "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out or measured heaven with a span." Now, that's an Old Testament measurement. You know how far a span is? From there to there. In other words, God made the universe the size of His hand. Now, that's the same God that is willing to walk around with you each day and listen to you ramble about what you had for lunch. And that when you cry out to Him, He hears every word. The Bible says He knows how many hairs are on your head, as well as how many stars are in the sky. And like I told you guys before, that's hard to keep up with me. So, you know, and He knows even so. And it's changed even since this morning. "Great is the Lord," verse 5, "and of great power. His understanding is infinite." He understands everything. Now, this is important because I think many times we are apt to go to God and somehow cop the plea, "Well, God, you just don't understand." And it's usually when you've got your hand caught in the cookie jar, right? You know, your mom told you to stay out of there, and mom catches you in the cookie jar and says, "Oh, well, Mom, you just don't understand." And we do that to God when we got caught in a sin. "Oh, well, God, you just don't understand." Oh, but He does understand, you see. He understands all. In fact, His understanding is infinite, beyond anything that we can even understand. He understands our circumstances. He understands our feelings, our hopes, our yearnings, our situations, our ambitions. He not only knows all the facts about us, guys, He understands everything about us. He holds all the answers. Verse 6 says, "The Lord lifteth up the meek and casteth the wicked down to the ground." Now, if you're like me, I mean, I don't sit through things like yesterday very well. You just should be very thankful that I wasn't president yesterday. I you know, my attitude is like, let's bomb first and ask questions later. You know, I figure little carpet bombing. We'll find out who's responsible. See, that's a really mean, wicked heart inside me. And I wait and ask questions, you know, and I know who did it. You know, let's go find him. So, you know, we kind of have that attitude, and it's haughty and it's arrogant, and it's just a good thing that that I'm not president. Meek is what God longs us to be. And now, meek does not mean weak. If it meant weak, it'd say weak. It doesn't say that. It says meek. And if you look up meek in Scripture, it means power under control. Power under control. That's meek. Christians, you're not asked to be just doormats, okay? You're asked to be meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground, and I emphasize the word he. Okay, not Tim cast the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow upon the mountains, who giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. Guys, anyone who looks upon the mechanics of this world's operation knows that there's a God. The Bible tells us that a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A fool. So that makes some of the greatest scientists that have ever lived, in God's eyes, they are fools. So in my eyes, they are fools. And if anyone should know better, they should know better. I don't know how any scientist could not be a believer. I don't know how any doctor could not be a believer. How could anyone who delivers a baby not believe that there's a God? I would think that that'd be one of the strongest things you'd ever say. You'd say, oh, this is a God thing. Absolutely. I mean, it's an amazing thing. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Romans 1:19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. In other words, they know it. It's inside of them. For God has showed it unto them. God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. All you got to do is open your eyes and look around, and you'll see. Like I told you guys many times, just watch the Nature Channel for, you know, just a few hours and then tell me there's no God. Verse 10, He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, and those that hope in His mercy. Guys, God's not impressed with the armies of the world. God was not impressed with the power that was shown yesterday. God's not impressed. I mean, God made everything we know in 6 days. He's not impressed with a display like yesterday. He's not impressed by the armies of the world or the strength that they think that they have. And we ought to know that. I mean, read Scripture and the historical, even just the historical aspects of Scripture, and you will see it time and time again, right through the 1967 war, that God has protected little teeny little Israel against much stronger enemies. Outnumbered hugely. There's stories about the early days of Israel, I think it was in the 67 war, where one tank held off an entire battalion. One Israeli tank. Because he came up on a hill and he'd shoot and drop back down. He'd move, come back up, shoot again, and he'd drop back down, move back over, come back up and shoot. They thought they were facing an entire brigade of tanks. One Israeli tank. And there are books written about the military tactics of Israel because they are such a wonder. It's God that's the wonder as He continues to protect them. He says in verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. Guys, God is not looking to have a seat at the great councils of the world. God isn't looking to be part of the United Nations or to entertain kings and princes and big nations. I think that's important to realize. God is far more interested in just sitting with His children. He's more interested in sitting with me as I give Him glory for the nature I see around me, or because of this work He did or that work, just communing with me, than He is having the entertainment or the company of kings and princes in the nations of the world. You know why? Because those things will all pass away, but I will not. See, I'm going to be with Him for eternity. But the nations of the world will not be here, for the world will be destroyed, and He will make a new heaven, a new earth. And it doesn't matter how many atomic bombs they have or how many planes they can hijack. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion, for He has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He has blessed thy children within thee. Israel had come to an understanding at the time of this writing, of this psalm, something that we all again come to the realization sooner or later, and that is God is our only protection. He's our only protection. I mean, again, yesterday make you feel a little vulnerable? Make you feel like, I thought we were safe. I thought we were okay. I mean, I'm going to get on a plane next week, and they managed to simultaneously hijack 4 planes. Simultaneously. I mean, you know what that's saying? That's saying they can do it anytime they want. Am I safe getting on the plane? I don't know. I don't know if I'm safe coming to work tomorrow, or whether I'm going to be safe going home tonight. My safety is in God's hands. I've told you guys many times. I'm in God's hands. I'm not leaving here till He says. So let there be no sorrow when I go, because it doesn't matter how it is. When I'm gone, rest assured that God said, Tim, time's up. Time to come home. And that's fine with me. I want to make sure that He finds me serving, diligent about His work. He maketh peace in the borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. In other words, He's the one who supplies with all we need. He sendeth forth His commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. I have no idea what hoarfrost is. He casteth for something that we have in Wisconsin, I'm sure. I think that's short for horrible frost. He casteth forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sendeth out His word and melteth them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. I find it interesting, verse 18, He sendeth out His word and He melteth them. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, speaking of that final battle, Armageddon, says, and then shall that wicked, capital W, speaking of the Antichrist, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. It's not going to be much of a battle, guys. He will destroy the enemy with a word. He sendeth out the word, melteth them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth His words unto Jacob, and His statutes and His judgment unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Now verse 20, He has not dealt so with any nation, or He has not dealt so with any other nation, is what that's saying. In other words, only Israel. By the way, and again, I'm not trying to put the fear into you, but there's no promises of God in Scripture for Him to protect America. There's been no pact given, no promises that, oh, gee, you in America, you're my special little Christian friends, and we'll protect you. It isn't there. There's only one such promise, and it's the promise to protect Israel. That is His chosen. Why? I have the foggiest idea. I don't know why. Maybe He threw a dart. I don't know. You know, who is it? Oh, it's Israel. Okay, a little tiny country in the Middle East. I don't know why. He chose. He has a right to do that. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 148, we're just going to read through it because, like I say, the writer says it all. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heaven, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Amen. He hath also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise. The praise of all of His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him, praise ye the Lord. Psalms 149, praise ye the Lord, He begins again. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. And His praise in the congregation of the saints. That's us, guys. That's what we do here. The congregation of the saints. Now, I have to remind you again, that's us. We're saints. I know. Hard to believe. But He sees us as saints. I don't see any of you as saints. I don't see me as no saint. That's for sure. He sees us as saints. But then again, I'm not doing the judging, and either of you, He is. So who do you want to see you as a saint? The judge. God. Now, why does He see you as a saint? Because His Son was truly perfect and a saint. And when He sees us that are His children, He sees Jesus. That's what Christianity is all about, you see. It's not about, you know, being a good little boy or girl or going to church on Sunday and paying your tithe and carrying a big family Bible. That's not Christianity. If you want to do that, that's cool. Like, big family Bible, I guess. But that's not what it's about. Being a Christian means that you are covered by Jesus Christ. That when God sees us, He sees His Son, perfect, spotless. Because remember, that's the only way you get into heaven. It's perfect and spotless. And if we have to go under our own righteousness and our own works, we're doomed. Everybody in this room, we're finished. So we better have somebody that's covering us. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbal, harp, electric guitar, whatever. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. Boy, if you underline your Bible, underline that. Do you understand the Lord takes pleasure in His people? That's us. Not only does He see us perfect, is He willing to forgive? Is He willing to wash us as white as snow, past, present, and future, to make us guaranteed entrance into heaven? And no, I don't have to hijack a plane and commit suicide in order to have that guarantee into heaven. And thank you very much. Aren't you glad tonight that you're a child of Jehovah God instead of Allah God? Who the only guarantee that Allah gives is if you die a martyr's death, are you guaranteed into heaven? That's why there's so many willing people to do that. See, because if you're a good little Muslim, all your whole life, Allah could still decide no when you get there for no reason, just on a whim. And they understand that. I'm not making this up. And their God is a God of anger, unpredictable, unknowing, unloving. That's not God. That's Satan. The Lord takes pleasure in His people. And He loves us. You understand that? You say, yeah, but maybe He takes pleasure in you, but He don't take pleasure in me because I'm always messing up. Those of you with children that would dare say that, Do you not take pleasure in your children anymore when they mess up? And you're a flawed parent, and God is a perfect parent. He still takes great pleasure in us. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. What is the two-edged sword? The Word. The Bible tells us that two-edged sword is the Word, and that's where it should be, in our hands. Not in a bookshelf at home. Not gathering dust all week. You blow the dust off, bring it to church, and you know, dust flies, you know, cobwebs, and, you know, spiders crawling at it. No, it's supposed to be in your hand. And nothing more beautiful than a worn, beat up, marked up, binding, busted Bible. That's a great thing. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and the punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written, the honor, this honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. Now, at the end of verse 6 it says, a two-edged sword in their hand, okay, speaking of the word, and it goes on, with that word, to execute vengeance, punishments upon the people. That word binds the king with chains. That word binds the nobles with fetters of iron. The word of God is stronger than a two-edged sword. That's why when you get into discussions with people, you can argue and you can debate and you can philosophize and give your opinion, and it don't matter. You start using the word of God, people start really fidgeting, don't they? It's great. You know, and the longer you delve into it, and I know many of you are saying, I just feel like I'm not learning anything, I'm not retaining it, you know, just hang in there, just keep going. You'll be surprised. One day, you'll find yourself in a conversation, and all of a sudden, the verses will come pouring out of you, and you'll go, where is that coming from? Standing in a music store last week in Minneapolis, because I was wearing a Jesus shirt, I got into some conversation with a very bright orange, spiky-haired kid with tattoos, and he was a believer. And we proceeded to have a great conversation. And he was asking me questions. And I found myself quoting scripture, much unlike me. You know, instead of giving my opinion. And I wondered afterwards, it's like, that was God. That was God. You just need the raw materials. He does the baking. To execute upon them judgment written. Psalms 150, this is it. Okay, by the way, I think this is fitting. Because this last psalm, this psalm's for Yeshua Palooza. Check it out. Praise you the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. And again, in the New Living, it's electric guitar. No, I'm kidding. Praise Him with the timbrel, the dance. And we're going to do that Saturday. We're going to praise Him with dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and with the organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. A fitting end to the book of Psalms. And that's exactly what we're going to do on Saturday. We're going to party. Now I realize, guys, it may seem like an odd thing after the events of this week to go have a party for God. The events of this week, believer, should be no surprise. Terrible, yes. I'm sorry to say that you've not seen anything yet. Birth pangs. There will be much worse to come. But see, for us that are believers, this means, A, His return is closer than it was yesterday. Amen. That's worthy of being partied for. And we also know that God's got everything under control and He's got us. We have a lot to be thankful for, and we're His children and He loves us. That's worthy of partying for. And God is going to let us bring out the electric guitars and the drums and the loudspeakers, and we're going to let this whole town know that we're partying for God. So I hope you all